is everybody doing? Welcome to episode number 34 of Free Market Screen Earth. I'm your host, Nikki P, here as always with Mr. Ben, the Liberty Hippie. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm catching you off guard.
A little bit, but all good.
So we have fun. We have a good one this week. Cause it's a week late because I fall asleep sometimes and get a little narcoleptic and then don't wake up.
Hey, no.
And then other times I'm completely awake and just don't see that you messaged me that we're supposed to be doing something on a given night.
It's random. It's hard. You know,
the schedule. The perils of being a parent in podcasting.
Yeah, always fun. Gotta lock them away.
Ben continually moves the episodes, and I just don't show up for the ones that we plan.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
I try to say, yeah, it's kids, man. What are you going to do? So, as we were talking about in the last episode, we're going to have a conversation about some trash and the kind of trash that we're told to recycle.
That garbage. Garbage is a commodity. It's a commodity. Did you know that?
Well, it was a commodity, and hence why we got lulled into the position that America got lulled into. But it all kind of came to a head, what, 2 years ago?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. For some of it, it came to light that we've seen it. It's been going on for some time now.
So
different jurisdictions. But
what ended up happening is a couple days ago, probably what, 2 weeks ago now, me and Ben saw an article about China and how they're jumping on the bandwagon, helping out the environment by getting rid of plastic straws and single-use plastics of all varieties. I mean, to each their own. I ain't anything government mandated, but you know, the thing that I found most interesting about the article is because as I'm just looking over this headline, and then it dawns on me that basically their issue is that they have an overabundance of trash in China.
Yeah, lots of it. They had their dump got filled up. They built this huge, massive dump, and it got filled up like years early.
25 years earlier than they expected. Now, the interesting thing in this isn't so much that it's like, well, it's China. Of course, they're a gigantic population. They make a lot of garbage. But that's not the whole story. And I felt that we couldn't discuss this without bringing up the fact that so much of that trash over there is ours.
They should put a tariff on that, right?
So essentially, what had been going on for the longest time, in America, we got very environmentally conscious in the 90s, I think, is when it really, really took off. And you start seeing a whole lot of localities start, you know, mandating recyclable pickup.
Yeah, even like we went to the county landfill, and I remember as a kid, you know, I don't know, it was probably like 6 to 8, 10 somewhere in there, and I remember having to separate it. Now instead of it going in the garbage can, we have three old dog food bags tacked up to the wall in the garage, and one gets glass, one gets plastic, and one gets cans. You know, I remember that happening. It's progressed some time from some ways from that now, but
I mean, we still put out the can. We get fined if we don't separate things. But I think about 2 years ago, I was paying a lot of attention to it because it's something that's kind of important to me. There were a lot of articles, a few of which you can actually go and check out in the show notes, about what recycling really is, and basically the scam that we'd been running as a nation to make it seem as though we were being more environmentally conscious than we were. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I'm actually surprised at how many people don't quite realize what was going on. And what was going on was China was actually paying us for our trash, in particular our recyclables, until about 2 years ago.
Yeah, you think about that, like that was a source of income for a lot of jurisdictions. You know, you put that bucket out, a lot of places charge you to recycle it. If you didn't do it, you know, you'd get fined or whatever. And then they take that recycling and they go sell it. And that's what they were doing. They were selling it to China, I guess. And I'm sure some places, you know, stateside, but a lot of it was going overseas. Just so strange to think about, you know. I know we do that with animals. They raise them here and they ship them over there to slaughter, and then it's ship them back, and it's somehow cheaper. But never thought we'd be shipping garbage cross seas.
Well, the idea is what they can use it for. You know, we have perhaps fewer, we perhaps have more of a refined industrial center here in the U.S. and kind of require probably more pristine raw materials.
Can't take it out of that recycled garbage. Huh?
Over there, they probably have more use for like what the materials that are recyclables to be made out of. But then all of a sudden it stopped. And what a lot of people don't understand is, so now all that recycling that we're supposed to be doing, first off, you actually just found a hilarious, and I say hilarious meaning that in the sense of, oh my God, how awful it is, article today about specifically Baltimore, I think it was.
Yeah, I think when we were trying to record before, and it actually, I think I saw it scroll across my feed. I was like, oh, how about that? But yeah, Baltimore County hasn't recycled glass in 7 years. 7 years they haven't been doing this. And it just came out, you know, really came to light in the last little bit here that they haven't been recycling for that long. And they stopped recycling glass the same year as a $23 million single stream recycling facility opened up. So they built this great big old recycling facility, and now you can't recycle glass. And I don't know what percentage glass makes up of recyclables, but I assume it's a, you know, relatively...
Well, so here's the thing. You say it comes to light. Now, does that mean that the people just stopped sending it in, or that they're still separating it and doing what they're going to doing and they're collecting it? They just take it to landfills the same as everything else.
Yeah, they exactly. They were, you still had to do it. You still had to put it out there. Now the government there is still suggesting that people really, really put it out there, you know, because they don't want them to break this wonderful habit that they've come to practice. So they keep putting it out there, and yeah, it just ends up in the dump anyway.
So to be clear, you have a situation where the government wastes a ton of money to create a system, and something changes so that system becomes not profitable. Like, which, because when it's great to have that $23 million facility when you're making your money back selling the stuff to China, but then you don't. Now, the thing that's frustrating to me is that, so you just get the virtue signal points by continuing to pretend you're recycling. Meanwhile, you're not actually recycling. And you're clearly still wasting money on this thing that you're not doing. It's very frustrating to me. And it to me screams, yep, this is exactly what you get with governments. This is how they operate.
I wonder when they do all those polls and those rankings of, you know, green cities or green states or whatever you have. Recycling is always part of that. And I wonder if they consider, you know, just because they still collect glass, is that still considered recycling, even if it ends up in a landfill or somewhere else?
I'm curious. So what is your particular response to the idea of recycling?
I mean, have at it if you want. Find, you know, if there's somebody out there that's willing to take it, great. If not, then there's not. And that means the dump fills up sooner. And that means the cost of generating trash is going to go up. And, you know, people respond to that. You know, I think there is some natural, not natural, but inherent sort of ideas within people that, you know, that this is not good for the environment. I don't want to do this. Like, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, look at our Americanized lifestyle, you know, single serving everything. Everything's got to be wrapped. You know, you buy a DVD, a Windows DVD for, you know, and what does it come in? You got this box, it's wrapped in plastic. Inside the box is, you know, another CD case wrapped in plastic. And inside that is, you know, the CD. And then you got all the paperwork in there. What do you need it for? You know, you don't even really need the CD. You could go get it online somewhere. I think we're kind of, some people are coming to that. It is, can be more difficult to do, but I do think it's something that's there. You know, and I think there's other things that we could do with our garbage. That, you know, they, again, it leads to problems because usually, you know, it just runs that state-run kind of thing. But, you know, specifically like incinerators. I remember going in college visiting a local incinerator in upstate New York.
But they're burning things and they're putting all that evil stuff in the air. It's so terrible for the environment to do that, right?
No doubt there are issues. There are issues with that just as much as there are with anything else. But the heat, how hot they get, they burn clean. They burn pretty clean. You're not getting a lot of nasties out of there that you would think. You know, if I go out in my backyard and I fill up a barrel with a bunch of plastic and I light it off fire, I'm going to get a whole bunch of nasty smoke and all that stuff coming out of there. That's not how it works. You know, they're burning much hotter. They're burning much cleaner. They have to scrub it, clean the air before it kind of gets out.
So I was listening to something. I think I was listening to Alex Epstein's Power Hour Best Of. And this guy pitched something that I've never in my life considered. And it's because I'm sure it's because it's not something they want us to consider. But very specifically, what he was bringing up, the guy he had on, one of the things he was, you know, what do you do with all this plastic? And his point was, you burn it for energy. You have all these coal-fired power plants across the world. Plastic burns real fucking good, real hot. And the thing is, so the plastic's already there. You already have it. That damage is already done. So instead of creating more environmental damage by going and getting the coal, burn the plastics that we already have that are already going to be doing their damage in the process of the energy creation. So now we get rid of all that coal burning to create, and basically, instead of creating two sources of waste, we now have gotten rid of one of our sources of waste. The whatever,
and created something out of it.
Yes, you created energy out of it. Like, the energy was going to need to be created one way or the other. So why not use the waste that we already have as opposed to going and finding more burnable material? And it's so often that's how that works, is that you don't think about, it's all that what is seen and unseen, and we don't think about the unseen a whole hell of a lot. And this is a prime example of the unseen.
It was probably 20 years ago, and I was about to say 10 years, but it was just about 20 years ago. So it's old. I don't know if it's still the same, but one of the issues with incinerators was the ash that's left over is pretty concentrated, nasty stuff. You know, you got to figure out a way to put that away. Can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but you know, like with nuclear waste, you have to get rid of it somehow. It's the same thing with that ash. I don't think to the same degree as nuclear waste, but you know, there was an issue with that, which again,
well, that's the thing. What do we? This is another thing that I think it was in that same, because it, God, what was the particular podcast about? I think it was about the ingenuity of the market and why the market produces better results. Because with the market, nobody wants to get rid of anything. They don't want to have waste. Waste is lost money, and so you'll find companies that get really, really creative as far as what they can do, what they'll do with that stuff. Like, they'll find a use for it. Like, something that was, you know, used to be a waste product will be sold to a different business to be utilized. The problem with governments getting involved in that is they never let that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you see that with all sorts of little companies or individuals out there that make use out of garbage. You know, that whether it's bracelets out of plastic that they've created beads out of, right? Little bracelets. I think there was a company that did that, or local guys making flower pots out of tires. You know, it's tacky. It's not something I want on my lawn, but you know, some people do. And there's a market for that. There's a niche for that. And you know, maybe not everything. Nobody wants your nasty yogurt container, really.
Well, but that's the thing. You say that, but I mean, if that nasty yogurt container can be burned to create electricity, well, that may be something someone's willing to pay for. I think the specific example that this particular gentleman used was, you know, the animal byproducts that are sold to, you know, into the glue making process. Like that whole thing happens and creates less environmental waste because someone said, "Hey, I got all this shit that I'm just throwing out. How can I make money off of this?" Which then goes and gets used by a completely different industry. But with government meddling, that doesn't happen. That's something that only a market can find, because someone has to be free to go and find where they can hawk that ware.
When I first started doing my podcast, I talked about some stuff at the end, like articles and free market type stuff. And there was one, there was a incinerator. I can't remember where it was. I almost want to say it was like Baltimore area, but like, that's what they were doing. You know, the town was still collecting recyclables, the private guy was still collecting recyclables, and he made more money selling it to the incinerator, you know, and the town was involved and the city was involved. And when they got involved, it turned into this problem. It turned into this issue of, you know, now the town wanted in on the money, you know, and they had to, it was just a big, big messy thing. And it was all because, you know, the city, the state, whoever it was, had to get involved and mandate where things went and who did what with what. And it was just like, man, you just stay out of it, let it go, and it will find a way, you know, the demands will be met.
So I'm sitting here kind of marveling at how weird and I don't want to say circuitous, how weird and meandering this particular topic has gotten so quickly. And the idea is, the point is that I feel like so many of the topics, when you try and get involved into the environmental field and you're looking at some of these issues, everything's preached as if it's a clear cut, you know, good, bad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, you know, I think it's Thomas Sowell, it's either Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams. I think it's Thomas Sowell when, you know, the age old economist question, is it good or bad? And you go, compared to what? Because everything is about trade-offs. And, you know, coming from an Austrian perspective, which is where, you know, my particular economic situation lies, everything has to be examined as a set of trade-offs, or it has to be looked at through the lens of, you know, how human action gets involved in there. And like, yes, people are going, you can think that this is what people should do, but this is what people are going to do. And so we have to work from what people are going to do.
And even then it's like, you know, those standards are set by the people involved. You know, I can't set a standard and expect like you and someone else to agree with that standard. You know, it's a matter of what you decide. You know, and when you get other parties involved that aren't really invested, you know, it's kind of, but yeah, it is interesting, especially with this. I mean, everything's all interrelated, right? And the environment is no different.
This whole thing starts with us talking about China banning single-use plastics. But to talk about China doing that and why their landfills are full so quickly, you then have to examine, well, what part of that did we take? And then from there, you start looking at what the implications are for that in our own nation, and start looking at some of the government scandals that have come about with this. And from government scandals, you know, we'll traverse the country in various different things that have happened here, you know, until eventually we're talking about almost something completely unrelated to it.
It's all related. It's all related, man. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, that they to going through some of these articles and seeing like the whole ink thing, right? Like printer cartridges, and you could recycle them. You could send them back, and it wasn't because they reused the cartridge. It was because they took the leftover ink out and combined it and repackaged it. Like that amazes me that, you know, there was money to be had there. There was money to be made there, and somebody took that on. Like that's huge, you know. It's just something like I never in my life would I have thought of. That's when I hear recycle a printer cartridge, that's what I would imagine happening.
This gets back to so much of why I have such an issue with the EPA and what the EPA does and how the whole system functions, because the EPA is designed to make happen exactly why this has become such an issue. It's designed to make people not think about things. It's designed to make us not pay attention. And the fact of the matter is that it's our waste. We have to pay attention to it. We have to be involved in that process. We have to know what's happening down the line. We can't, we don't have the luxury of not knowing, of ignoring it all. And it's frustrating that, you know, the EPA gives people that way to say, no, it's somebody else's problem. They'll handle it. They know what they're doing. When the fact of the matter is they're just people the same as us, and they don't necessarily know what they're doing. And they're not motivated by anything different than we are. As far as the thing that is that what the one difference in motivation is that it's not their problem. It's somebody else's that they're just dealing with. So, you know, when it's our problem to deal with, we will make choices that are perhaps they come from honest motivations.
Yes. Yep.
Political motivations just ruin the whole process, I guess.
Well, it's the same thing with all those sort of agencies and a lot of it. Like they're designed not to make you think, right? They're designed to allow you to pass the buck, so to say, right? Like, it's not my problem. Somebody else has got a rule for it. I'm just going to follow the rule. I don't have to think about it because somebody already told me how to do it. But they are. They're not involved directly in that relationship. They're removed, and their only motivation is holding on to their job. Their only motivation is to, you know, make things look good. Now, whether that actually is good or not, you know, remains to be seen. But as long as, you know, you can scrawl some numbers down on paper and say, hey, we have this amazing recycling program.
We have this $25 million facility. we haven't used in 7 years, a better part of a decade. We just put it all in a landfill.
Oh, God, I love it, man. It's insane. And they just...
Well, you know, it's even more insane than that. So the stuff, I guarantee, is going to the same landfill as the other shit, which means that they're sending out 2 trucks a week as opposed to having it all go out with 1 truck.
Well, and that's the other part of it, right? It's like they're not just like, yeah, this whole other arm.
They're literally creating more waste in an effort to keep up the lie because it's a political solution. They're creating more waste. They're making the environmental problems compound.
We have single stream where I live, and we just recently got glass, and we can only do plastics 1 and 2. And I think when you get to like 3, that's when you start getting PVC in there or something, and it starts to degrade the quality of the plastic. So a lot of people don't take it. When I was up north, you just throw it all in there. But you got to wonder, you know, how much of this stuff actually just goes to the same place, you know, just gets pitched in the same hole and covered with dirt and run over and left to, I don't know, be dug up in 1,000 years, 100 years. Look at these crazy people. Imagine what they say they'll go through, like our garbage in 1,000 years, 500 years. Ugh, gracious.
Yeah.
So, I gotta put this out there. One of these articles we were reading was talking about how China not allowing trash to come in, and I think it was. Oh man, Singapore.
I was gonna say, are we sending
Malaysia?
Are we sending it to all these other countries now? It's not like we stopped. Our trash has to go somewhere.
Yeah, right. So we start sending it to these other places, and these other places are like, "No, we don't want this. Like, we're gonna say no." And it has led to a illegal garbage reception. You know, there's people that smuggle garbage in. Like, how is that? Like, we've created, the government has created a black market for trash. It's insane.
But once again, it's all because people get focused on the political solution. And the political mm-hmm. solution is people don't want to know about it. We don't care. We just don't want it to be our problem. And so they're willing to look the other way. I know that I'm sure that there's people out there, like, you know, hardcore, you know, leftist Marxist types that don't believe that we actually give a shit about the environment in any meaningful way. And I want to reiterate that I absolutely care about the environment. My perspective mm-hmm. is that we have to deal with things the way that people deal with things, which is on our own. We have to hold that responsibility ourselves. We can't pan that responsibility off. You can go and do the research. No governments have done more to destroy the environment than socialist and communist governments throughout history.
Yeah.
And the further are down that lane you go, the worse it is. And the issue is because political solutions always make it someone else's problem. And when it's someone else's problem, you can kind of look the other way. Being forced to deal with things in a market means that you're going to have real solutions. If people think of getting rid of, you know, recycling as something that is good for the environment, they don't think of the fact that that's expensive. You have to pay to do that. Like, some process has to happen. And so some resources have to be traded for that. It's not something we in our world, because we were trained to think that, oh, we just send it off there and they do whatever they're going to do with it. They sell it to some other country. It was the scam was designed to make it so we didn't have to think about it. It wasn't designed to actually do anything good for the environment, because all we do is ship it off to another country. It was designed to not think about it. And I don't want people not thinking about it. I want environmental issues to be something everyone has to think about, frankly.
Yeah, put them front and center. Let us think. It's disturbing when you actually like think about some of the stuff, when you think about some of the, what's actually going on, and not just, you know, garbage, but any of the sort of environmental issues that we just turn a blind eye to. You know, you talk about batteries and mining for that stuff and all the damage that does, you know, and all these things that we don't think about. Because we just don't. We don't need to.
We're going to beat the hell out of this one. Beat it with a dead horse. Yeah. So we got a couple things, I believe, coming up. Hopefully, well, I'm going to say it on here so it has to come true. We're going to talk to Mr. Anthony Samaroff, the Scottish Libertarian Podcast. Yeah, he's going to come on. I think we're going to talk about an article. It's about a decade old now, about why libertarians feel the way they do about the environment, or the way that we treat it the way we do. And it was a pretty, like, insane thing to read when I read it. And to me, it does not paint a truthful picture of any way that I feel about anything. But, you know, it is what it is. We also have Mr. Donnie Gebert coming on to talk to us about a direct republic, which I could explain to you given probably 6 hours personally. But we don't have 6 hours. We're just going to wrap the show up. But he's going to come on and kind of tell us what a direct republic offers people that actually give a shit about the environment. I'm pretty excited about that. Ben is confused about it mostly.
I got to figure it out. Or I just sit there and learn.
Well, his whole thing is, you know, it is basically what the blockchain offers people, what it offers humanity and the way that we govern ourselves. You know, the idea of decentralizing it, getting it back to the people that have the, you know, the ability to care about certain things. It's, you know, all about loci of control. And the way that he describes it is like we're Jetsons people now. Still governing ourselves like it's the fucking Flintstones. You know, the technology of government, it offers more now. And we're still doing it the old-fashioned way, and there's no reason to. So I'm excited to hear, like, how that conversation can go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure, for sure.
So anything else that you know that we need to talk about there, bud?
Oh, I don't think so.
All right. Well, once again, this is episode number 34 of the Free Market Screen Earth podcast. Stop on over to freemarketscreenearth.com. Check out the show notes. Click the links. See where they send you. There's a lot of interesting things. This particular one, I made it a point to only utilize links from sources that would be quote-unquote reputable in certain circles. So that was fun. Also, if there's something you think that we should cover, please contact us. I'd love to talk about it. It'll be a blast. And yeah, I guess thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.
This podcast is a proud creation of the Mad Audio Lab. For more information, check out madaudiolab.com. Free Markets Green Earth is part of the Liberty Hippie Podcast Network. If you like what we do, be sure to check out Homesteads and Homeschools, Peace Freaks, Cannabis Heals Me, and This Week in Liberpods. We're living proof that libertarian doesn't mean washed up Republican.